Now, every time you hear Elisha speak, he's kind. Stay here. I've got to go seek the Lord, but I want you to stay here, son. No, I'm not staying here. If this is where God takes you, I'm going to go with you. He gets to another city, Jericho. Stay here, son. Every word after that is the word of a father, not the word of that angry, fearful prophet. Every word he speaks after that has a completely different tone, a completely different feel. See, the first steps to transformation is, God, will you get me in a place that I can be transformed? For him, it took a 40-day fast in a cave and a moment of depression. Oh, yeah, God can anoint you in depression. Sometimes it takes hitting the bottom before you can bounce up and really bounce up. If you can't deny yourself, God will humble you so you will deny yourself. If you can't humble yourself before the Lord, God has wonderful ways of humbling you so that you will look up and cry out to your Almighty God for deliverance. And this is what's going on. Many years ago, I was speaking at a conference. And at this conference, there was a young man that walked up to me. I don't know what he expected, and I don't know what I even talked about that day. I wasn't actually preaching. I was teaching a conference, a seminar. But I'll never forget what he said. He said to me, "You're no big deal." Well, I never claimed to be a big deal. I never told him was. I never told anybody I was a big deal. I don't claim to be a big deal. This is what he said. "You're no big deal." He said, "I can do what you do." The Holy Spirit came over me and gave me a word for him. And it was kind, and it was true. I said, "You know what, you look like a smart guy. You probably could do what I do, but can you do what I did to get to do what I do?" It's different if I hand it to you and you just claim it. It's another thing if my blood, sweat, and tears, and time, and prayer, and my neology is involved. There's a lot of people that want the shortcuts. They don't want to fast, and I'm not fussing anybody because I don't know who's fasting. You're not reporting to me. There's some people, they don't want to fast, but they want to go to somebody who did and say, "Lay hands on me and take care of my problem." I'm not willing to fast. I'm not willing to pray. I've got all my excuses, but I want somebody who paid the price for the fast pass to lay their hands upon me. And God is saying, sometimes if you easy come, easy go. If you get it too easy, you're not going to hold on to it too long. And sometimes God says, "I want it rooted in you. I want it grounded in you. I want to get you to a place of transformation." See, when Faith and I went to St. Louis, when we left St. Louis, everybody wanted to go to Twin Rivers. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I had over $1 million in the bank. I had two campuses. I had people coming. I was doing three services on Sunday morning. Thousands of people, you know, thousands of members. Why wouldn't you want that? But you know when they didn't want it? When they sent me there. Because when Faith and I went there almost 30 years early, we had 52 people. We made $300 a week when they could pay us. And they said, "When we can't pay you, we'll bring you groceries." My redhead will verify everything I'm telling you. We slept on a bed with cinder blocks propping it up, no frame. It was a mattress and the one underneath it, the box springs, thank you, it's been a while. The box springs and the mattress on cinder blocks. We had curtains that had plastic over the windows. We had the wind blowing the front door down because it wouldn't even stay shut. The roof of the church had caved in the educational wing. We had two babies in the nursery, and almost everybody in the church was retired. And I begged people to come to the altar, and nobody would get up and come. They were worn out, they were tired, and they were dying there. And I said, "Lord, are you sure this is where you sent me?" But it was that same church. I didn't move from there. It was that same church that became that thriving metropolitan church that sent missionaries. Over 74 pastors left that church while I was there and are now pastoring churches around the country. Not to mention the full-time missionaries around the country. From that place, What was the secret, Dr. B? Oh, I want to tell you, I lived a fasted life. I didn't just fast in January. I fasted for the light bill to be paid. I fasted for the groceries to come in. I fasted every time I needed a new car. I fasted because we didn't have musicians and singers, and I stayed on my knees. The first thing I did is grab me a couple of warriors, and I started this warfare prayer meeting. We were so scary, nobody wanted to even come in the room. We were loud. We were screaming our head off because we were desperate, and I wasn't going to be quiet. Let me tell you, if you wanted a quiet prayer meeting, you need to go down the street. There's plenty of them down there, but that wasn't it. I had to run the devil out of town. I had to set my stake in the ground. I had to make sure I drove it in long enough to keep me there and stay there over and over. And we pressed in and we fasted and we prayed and we paid the price for God to birth a great ministry out of our life. Too many people want the fast track without paying the price for the fast track. See, you guys know Perry and Pam Stone. You didn't know I was going to preach about you tonight, but Jonathan, throw those pictures up there for me. I came prepared. You guys know this Perry Stone and this Pam Stone. I knew the other. I went to their apartment before they had a house. And I went to their first house when they bought a house, and it was pretty much, well, it was their office, it was their house. And let me tell you what me and the redhead did when we go to the Stones' house. We didn't go there to watch TV and play cards. No, no, no. We sit downstairs. It was a split level. We went downstairs, and we made cassette tapes till midnight. You walk in that house, he puts you to work. That's the honest truth. They'll tell you. They can verify this story. Well, we didn't visit them as often as we should because, no, I'm kidding. But when you go to the Stones house in the early, there was no VOE. That was the staff right there. You're looking at the staff. You're looking at the grunt work. And before Perry wrote all these bestsellers, probably more than 150 bestsellers now, before he wrote all those, I was around when he was printing books about that thick. Getting them printed down the street. I can't remember the name of the printer, but it's Carol Printing. That's the one. He would go, I've been in the car with him at Carol Printing, and we had come out there with little books that were about 20 or 30 pages thick, and they were stapled along the side, and you had to fold them down and sit on them to get them to close all the way. And that's what was on the table for Perry Stone. I remember those days. And if you wonder why, Perry, you know this and I know this. People have made fun of him for years, comedians and everybody, because he speaks in tongues all the time. But if you knew what this man had to birth from nothing, you would know why he prays in the Spirit the way he prays in the Spirit. If you knew what hell he had to walk through to get to where he's at now, there was no easy path. There was no fast path. And not only that, he married an intercessor. He married a praying woman who has been behind the scenes, lifting him up, speaking God's praise and prophesying. I want to tell you, they're both prophets. They're both prophets. Perry prophesies in the microphone, but hell knows Pam Stone's name. I promise you that. Hell knows her name. Hell is afraid when Pam Stone wakes up in the morning and puts her feet on the ground, because you get this prayer mama wound up, she'll walk into the devil's living room and shake her fist in his face and say, not my family, not my house, not this ministry, not my husband, not my children, not my babies. That's the kind of woman she is. They didn't get here easy. But guess what? They're here. Yeah. Woo! They made it. You want to know the secret sauce? It wasn't who you know. Perry was fighting who he knew. His denomination whom he knew, because he was preaching things that nobody ever preached before. He's preaching types and shadows and Bible prophecy because they didn't understand it. Some of his own brothers came against him that he pushed through. and he kept preaching. And now he has manifest in so many languages around the world. The Russians are hearing manifest every day. Latinos are hearing manifest every day. The Ukraine has the manifest program in the Ukraine because God was faithful. And the word, I can't even tell you what all he's done in Israel. I can't even tell you. I see Shweki here tonight. Shweki knows part of the story. Shweki knows the generosity of this man to Jerusalem and Israel and the Christian communities there, the Palestinian Christians, the Jewish people. He knows the sacrifice. Perry has been generous. He has sowed seed. He didn't just get here because he was cute. He didn't just get here because he could sing. And guess what? He's cute and he can sing. He didn't get here because he can preach. And guess what? He can preach. But he got here because he was dancing when the Yahweh showed up. He was the fire. He was the wind. He was the earthquake in the presence of God. And I still think he's an earthquake. Every day of my life, I sit in the chair of a prophet, in the office of a prophet. This man, there you go, Dr. T.L. Lowry. Some of you have only heard his name. I felt his hand on my head so many times. Not for long, because I usually ended up on the floor. Most people did. Dr. T.L. Lowry was a man whose personality was bigger than life. He could walk in any room, anywhere, and every eye in the room, the bank, the White House, he's spoken at the White House many times. He's prayed over the senators and the Congress many times, walked to the halls of government and laid hands upon people. He's done this. There's a lot of people think, well, you know what, he's good looking, he's charismatic, that must be what it was. Oh, no. For those of you that knew Dr. Lowry, you know what that ice cup represented. Oh, Dr. Lowry was known for 40-day fasts, 21-day fasts. Went on, not just one. He went on several of those. And he would carry this old ice cup and crunch that ice. That's all he would eat is just water, and he would crunch that ice, and that helped him to make it through. I remember one time when I was a teenager, Dr. Lowry was on a 40-day fast. And the Church of God North Georgia camp meeting right outside of Atlanta was being held in Dorville, Georgia. And Dr. Lowry was on the docket to speak in one of the afternoon service at 2:00. It was a healing service, and the place was packed. And they would run about 5,000, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in those days. And all those people together, as a matter of fact, there were no walls on this outdoor tabernacle, and there were lawn chairs as far as you can see, just people gathering as far as they could see to get around that tabernacle and hear Dr. Lowry. But what they didn't expect is he was so weak when he came in on that fast, they couldn't preach. He was nearing the end of his 40 days, and I remember seeing him as a kid leaning up against the pulpit like this because he couldn't hardly stand. And he didn't really preach. He just said, listen, I wish I could preach, but I'm just too weak. But the power of God is on me today. And this is what he said. I'm going to sit in the chair. I won't be able to say anything because I don't have much of a voice. I'm dry, and I don't have enough voice to talk. I can't raise my hands and lay it on you, but I want you to walk by and touch my hand. And when I do, God will take care of the rest. And I saw them take that old prophet and sit him down in a chair. Boy, where are those days? Where are those moments? I'm tired of candy religion. I'm tired of sugar highs. I want some meat. I want some depth. I want some glory in my life. No, Dr. Lowry would sit there in that chair, and they'd bring him by. They had to get the line went on both sides. They were touching his right hand, his left hand, all the way down the tabernacle, and it went on for, I would guess, 2 hours. Might have been longer than that. It was hours, and people would just walk by and touch him, and they'd be slain in the spirit, and they'd drag him out of the way and put a cloth over him, and another one would just touch him. I think almost every single person that touched him that day got healed, delivered, set free, or something, because every single person got a spiritual touch from God. Wouldn't you like to see that again? That doesn't come cheap. That doesn't come on the wings of a song. That doesn't come from a new version of the Bible. That doesn't come from cute little antidotes and jokes before the sermon. That doesn't come that way. That comes from spending time with God. That's how you fast track the prophet track, by spending time with God.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
You've heard Floyd Lahan. Floyd Lahan's been here before. As a matter of fact, I'll see Floyd this weekend. I am preaching at his church. Well, he's not a pastor. He is a layman there, but I'm preaching at the church he attends down in DeLand, Florida this coming Sunday, so I'll hopefully see him then. Floyd Lahan was a man that had a trailer, like a camper, out behind his house. And he would go in that camper for months at a time. He would go in there and spend day and night and come out at night and be with his family and go in there day and night, long fast, long seeking God. And one of his kids, I heard one of his kids say him one time, she said that she heard her dad crying out to a point of terrorizing her because she thought something was wrong with him. He was crying out to God in that camper like a dying man. But when that man walked out of that cave, when that man walked out of that camper, I have seen Floyd Lahan. A lot of people try to imitate this. And listen, if God gives you a Bible to lay hands on people, that's you. But don't try to be Floyd Lahan, because Floyd Lahan is the only Floyd Lahan. And Chris, let me borrow your Bible for a minute. Floyd Lahan would walk in the room, and he'd have a Bible in his hand. He wouldn't have to touch you or anything. Floyd would say something like, there's a man right back there on the third row, and he'll tell you what, he'll say something like, you've been doubting me. You've been saying I'm a fake. I want you to stand up. No, you, I know you don't want to sin, but I want you to stand up. And if the guy wouldn't stand up, he'd just wave the Bible and the guy would fall over on the floor. I mean, he was like that. I've seen him set up a prayer line that would have 100 or 200 people in it, and instead of laying hands on them, I've seen him wave his Bible, and like dominoes, 100 people be slain in the Spirit at the same time. They just all fall out at the same time. I've never seen anybody walk quite like that in the anointing. I mean, I've seen a lot of people that had gifts that were amazing, but I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like that. I've never seen anybody operate in the Spirit of God the way he did. He would just wave his Bible. Sometimes he'd lay it on your head, but most of the time he'd just wave it right by you, and God would do the rest. It was one of the most incredible things. But Floyd Lahan fast-tracked himself to transformation by getting alone with God and seeking the face of God. It was not quick, it was not easy, but it's still with him today. He is still that man of God that God uses to bring revival. Jensen Franklin has grown one of the largest churches in the country, and Jensen Franklin is one of America's favorite preachers. But you know what? That same Jensen Franklin, if you want to look him up on the internet, get ready, because most of his sermons that you find are going to be on fasting and praying, because he starts every year with a fast and has done it as long. I was throwing some things away the other day, and I found some old cassette tapes of Jensen Franklin, and it was on the fruit of fasting. He's been doing that a long time. He fasted his way into the presence of God and into the hearts of this world because of God's presence. Chris Hodges over in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, he is spirit-filled. His church is unique. That's all I will say about that. His church is very unique, but Chris Hodges has built the second largest church in the country. There's over 50 3,000 attenders every single week on all the campuses. And you know what they're doing right now? They're fasting, because Chris Hodges starts every January out with a church-wide fast and their contributions to missions. He gives millions to missions every single year, because he told the Lord when he planted that church, God, if you'll bless me, I'll give you 20% of the income that comes into this church. I will give it away into missions. And he still does. And now with 50,000, lots of white collar, lots of business people, lots of wealthy people, he's got more money coming in than he ever has, and he still gives 20% away. Wouldn't you like to write a $300,000 check to a missionary? Wouldn't you just love to sit down every month and write a $500,000 check to a missionary and another one? Wouldn't you like to be that missionary when they get that in the mail the day that that arrives? Because that's not just going to sustain them. That's going to move them into new areas of ministry. Larry Stockstill is a great man of God who's now going around and teaching and training pastors. Larry Stockstill, if you ask him, what is your secret sauce? How did you build your church from 1,500 that you got from your father to the 7,500 in the multiple campuses? He'll say, this is what he'll tell you every time. I really didn't know what I was doing. Some people say you fast to hear from God. I fasted because I didn't know what to do. I fasted, so this is his secret. I heard him say this just a few days ago. He said, I fasted the first 21 days of the month, the first 3 days of every month, and every single Saturday. Now, when I heard him say that, he said, I lived a fasted life. And I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm telling you, for me, I'm holding myself accountable to you. I've actually been doing this for several months. I just haven't said it to anybody. My wife's the only one who knew it. But when I heard him say that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Brian, if you want to do what you've got to do in these last days, if you want to do what I've called you to do at OCI, if you want to do what I've called you to do at ISO, because I'm a pioneer, I'm starting things and rebuilding things and building bridges. It's not like you hand somebody something and they just work with it. No, it's entirely different from that. And God says, if you want to do it, this is what the Lord told me, if you will live a fasted life, I will bless everything you set your hands to if you'll live a fasted life. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to fast one day a week. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I've been fasting every Thursday. It's our prayer day. So when you don't invite me to lunch on Thursday, I'm not saying this to brag. If you want to join me, you can join me. If you want to live a fasted life, then you choose your fast before the Lord. But I told the Lord, as long as you've got me in these roles, every Thursday is yours. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to live a fasted life, because I know only the hand of God can breathe on the embers and spark the fire. Only the breath of God can cause things to grow again and thrive again in his presence. I got one more and then we're going to pray. This is a man that I never met. This is a man that I've heard lots of stories about. Larry Stockstill was his pastor, so he knew him personally. This man's name is Danny Ost. Danny Ost is one of the greatest missionaries that has ever been in the country of Mexico. One of the things that he did back when he was a missionary there before he died in 1985 is he would drive a Cessna plane, fly a Cessna plane, his own plane, over Mexico and distribute tracts. He distributed over 20 million tracts, over 70% of the entire circumference of Mexico. Over all the major cities, he distributed these tracts, and people were coming to the Lord right and left. The Lord told him to fast, and the Lord told him to pray. So he started every day out with an hour of prayer. That's good. That's good right there. He started every day out with an hour of prayer, and then he started planting churches and building churches. What's amazing about him is that the Lord gave him a vision, not a dream, but the Lord gave him an open vision of a river of people spilling over into hell. And this scene stained him and gripped him so bad that he couldn't catch them. He couldn't save them fast enough. It was a river of people, and they were just plunging over into hell. And this affected him. He never could get over it. People who knew him said that he would be sitting at the lunch table with friends or family, and all of a sudden he would start to shake. and weep because this scene would come back in his mind and he would have to get up and go to the kitchen and tell someone about the Lord. They said everywhere he went, he was obsessed with soul winning. One of the pastors went on a trip with him one time overseas, and he said he about wore him out. He said everywhere he went, he had to witness to every cab driver, every waitress. He said they couldn't go anywhere without him sharing the gospel with somebody, and they got to talking in one of the cabs. When they got out of the cab, he looked at him and started weeping, and he said, "We didn't share the gospel with this cab driver in India." He said, "Whose blood, which of our hands will his blood be upon, mine or yours? Because we had the opportunity to share the gospel, and we did not. Who will God hold accountable for that moment?" That's the kind of guy he was. This man won so many souls to the Lord. In the last 5 years of his life, he planted 5 churches. All of them were over 5,000 people in 1 year. He planted a church that went to 5,000. He went to another city, planted a church that went to 5,000. And the last 5 years of his life, he planted a church that won 25,000 people to the Lord in just the last 5 years of his life. This man was a witnessing machine, so much so that when he died of cancer. He knew he was going to die. He wanted to continue to evangelize after his death. In New Mexico City, where there's 20 million people in the city, they cannot bury the dead anymore in this area because there's not enough land. The population is so thick in there. So they have a garbage heap where they had been taking all the garbage, and they built basically this land mountain out of it, this land heap from all this garbage. It's huge. It's a huge mountain. So every day the government digs a big hole in the side of this garbage mountain, and the poor bring their dead and commit them to that hole. He said 50 families a day walk there and have to lay their loved ones because there's no other way to bury them. And then they will bury them in a mass grave that's unmarked. They won't put a tombstone, no flowers, nothing. They lay them in this huge mass grave. And every single day, 50 more people come. Knowing that, he bought a little piece of land right on the track to the cemetery before you go in. And he said, "This is where I want my wife and I to be buried." A little small plot of land, and he put a fence around it and put track racks all around the fence with the plan of salvation on the track racks, and has people that go there every day and fill up those track racks because he knows those mourning, hurting families have got to walk by there twice on the way there and on the way back every day, and they will receive the gospel. Instead of a tombstone, he had a big cement slab built, and he has the phone number and the address to the local church so they can go there and get help. And where the tombstone should be, instead of a picture of him, there is the Roman road to salvation on a tombstone, and he put a big 10-foot cross in the middle of it so no one could miss it. And every single day, hundreds of people, I don't know how many come to bury one person, but hundreds of people go and come. And now, since 1985, this man is still preaching the gospel every single day to anyone that will come and hear the gospel. He prepared more in his death to win souls than some people have in their lifetime. He won more souls in a single day than some people have in a lifetime, because he was obsessed with the fact that he has to keep people out of hell. Fast forward. You want to go fast forward? There is a place of transformation. It is a place on your knees. The fasted life, the prayer life.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.